morning and welcome to Fiber Hooligan. I'm your host, Benjamin Levesay, and for the next hour or so, I'd like to invite you to grab your cup of coffee, tea, or Diet Dr. Pepper, that's your beverage of choice, and settle in for the 67th edition of Fiber Hooligan. For those of you who are wondering who the heck I am the CEO of XRX Inc., home of Knitters Magazine, XRX Books, and Stitches Expos. If you are tuning in for the first time, Fiber Hooligan is a podcast hosted by yours truly and dedicated to bringing you interviews with the best of the fiber arts world, including experts and designers in the crafts of knitting, crochet, spinning, weaving, as well as anything else that I think is interesting. I want to make sure that I thank the good folks over at Prime Publishing. Prime Publishing is the exclusive media sponsor for Fiber Hooligan, and this show is brought to you by AllFreeKnitting.com, your source for great knitting patterns. If you haven't checked them out yet, please head on over to AllFreeKnitting.com to get in on the fun. I want to welcome the new listeners today. Thank you for tuning in and trying out the show. I hope you enjoy it. I can't wait for us to get to know each other better. And of course, I'd like to welcome back our regular Fiber Hooligan listeners. Your ongoing support means so very much to me. Okay, my guest today has been knitting since 2004 and designing since 2008. Her designs have been seen in several magazines, including Knit Scene, Love of Knitting, and Knit Simple. Her best-selling book, Sock Yarn Shawls, was released in January 2013. You can also find dozens of her self-published patterns on Ravelry. When not knitting, she can be found at her spinning wheel, reading, or pinning crockpot recipes on Pinterest. She's an up-and-comer in the teaching world. She lives in Fox River Grove, Illinois, with her husband, Alex. She is a wonderful lady, and I'm so excited to be able to have her on the show today. I am speaking, of course, of my friend, Jen Lucas. Jen joins us this morning from Fox River Grove, Illinois. Good morning, Jen, and welcome to the show.
Hi, Benjamin. Thanks for having me on.
Oh, it's great to have you on. It's really great to have you on. You've been on the short list for a long time.
Oh, thanks.
I don't know why, I just never seem to get around to it.
Yeah, things get busy, you know?
They really do. How are things in Fox River Grove this morning?
Great. A little cold, a little windy, a little wet, but pretty good.
I know, fall is definitely here.
Yes, it is. Definitely have to bust out the sweaters.
I'm not a big fan of this whole, wet part of it. It's kind of the sweater, chilly weather kind of, that's okay. That seems like fun.
Yeah, I agree with you. I'm fine when it's cooler. 60-degree weather is my favorite, but yeah, when it starts raining and it's cloudy and you don't see the sun for days, that's just sad to me.
I missed the changing of the leaves here. I left for a week to go out to Hartford to Stitches, and I came back and all my green trees are now yellow. It's pretty. It's kind of sad I missed it, but I guess I got the best of it because they're still all there and for the most part, and they look beautiful. I'm looking out my office window right now.
That sounds nice. Yeah, our trees have changed here too, and yeah, it's so pretty driving up and down my street.
So I don't know where Fox River Grove is. Is that sort of, it's an outskirt of Chicago?
Yes. I tell people it's the far northwest suburbs of Chicago. So, it takes us about an hour to get into the city, and we can be in Wisconsin in about 30 minutes. So not too far from where Stitches Midwest has been held the last few years.
Right, right. And that, of course, that's where I think you and I talked last, which is great.
Yes.
And as you know, I'm a big fan of yours. I arranged it so she would sit at my table at the student banquet at the Stitches Midwest, because I really, really wanted to sit down and talk with Jen, because I've been a big fan for a long time. And I know you will too, folks. So let's get right into this today. For the Fiber Hooligans that may not know much about you, I'm going to ask you a very boilerplate question. Jen Lucas, who are you and where did you come from?
Well, like I said, I'm in Fox River Grove now. I grew up in Illinois. I've lived here all my life. And really, I started knitting about maybe 12 years ago. I'd gotten out of college, and me and my friends were kind of looking for something new to learn. And so we decided to give knitting a try. I had never knit or crocheted or anything before that. And I taught myself out of one of those little booklets that you can buy at the big box craft stores. I think it was called Learn to Knit in Just One Day. It was a great little booklet, but I feel like it kind of lied to me because it definitely took me more than one day to learn how to knit. And from the beginning, you know, I didn't really have knitting friends. I didn't know what a local yarn shop was. So really from the beginning, I was kind of doing my own thing. This was before Ravelry, you know, was out, and knitting blogs were still, you know, just starting to come to be, but were still pretty new. So from the beginning, I was kind of doing my own thing, kind of making up my own little scarf patterns, which just were, you know, basic scarf patterns. And then as time went on and Ravelry, you know, became a thing, and knitting blogs were more prevalent, I started reading a lot of knitting blogs, started knitting a lot of patterns from Knitty.com, and eventually started designing my own stuff that, you know, I wanted other people to make it. I had done a few little free sock patterns on my blog. And then maybe about 5 or 6 years ago, I took a design your own shawl class that Stephanie Jappel actually was running on her website. This was before Craftsy was out. And really that was the turning point for me. Once I took that class and really understood the math and everything that goes into shawl knitting, I decided, you know, that's really what I was into and started designing shawls and kind of never looked back.
Well, and of course, you're very well known for shawls, but and that's a good elevator speech answer. But before we get into your knitting, I've had this conversation with so many people. Very few people say, oh, you know, I knew from the age of two that I was going to be a knitwear designer and author and teacher in the fiber arts world. I went to school and joined the knit club, and no one goes through that thing. Everybody comes to it from a different place, and you are certainly no exception. You came to this world from a very different place as far as a career goes, and I'd love for you to tell our listeners exactly where you did come from, because it's interesting.
Yes, it is interesting. I went to school for chemistry. I have my degree in chemistry. And so, you know, following going to college, I started working in basically mostly environmental labs. And the last decade or so had worked for a municipal wastewater lab where I would collect wastewater samples. I'd have to go out in the field and collect samples and then also test them at the lab. So it's kind of funny because I joke that my two passions in life sort of are raw sewage and knitting. It's just kind of a weird combination. So yeah, I mean, I'm, like you said, like most people, I just had, you know, a regular job. I was, you know, doing the chemistry lab thing for a long time and, you know, was sort of just doing this on the side. And I feel really lucky that now it's, you know, kind of turned into more where I can do it as my job.
Right. You've now made the transition to be doing this as a full-time thing, which is a hard gig because you've got to do a lot of different things to do that. But I always find it interesting. So at one point you took off your lab coat and you picked up your needles full-time, and you say you were passionate about the treatment of water. Uh-huh. Now again, it's hard for me to get, I like clean water. I have, you know, doing nothing but RO water coming into the house. There was a brief time when I was very young that I actually sold water treatment systems door to door. Don't ask. It was a terrible, terrible time of my life. But I have to tell you, I don't think I've ever been passionate about that. Can you explain that to me? Is this just going to be one of those conundrums we'll probably never understand about Jen Lucas?
Yeah, I think it's one of those things that's kind of hard for people to understand. The way I kind of came into that job of working, you know, in a like municipal lab was that, you know, when I was in college, I was trying to figure out, you know, what I was going to do with this chemistry degree. Where I went to school, a lot of people, almost everybody that was a chemistry major was pre-med and went on to become doctors. And that was never a goal of mine. I was one of the two people in college that just wanted to, like, get my chemistry degree and put on a lab coat and sit in a windowless lab and test something. But when I was in college, I had the opportunity to work in the lab I had worked in as a summer intern. And I don't know, I just found it so interesting. I had spent a small amount of time working in a pharmaceutical lab, and I liked that too. But I don't know, it was just something about water, and for whatever reason, particularly wastewater that I just found really interesting, and I did really enjoy doing it. You know, but I kind of reached a point in the last year or so where, even though I still really loved it and was interested in it, I also, working in those small labs is difficult because there's not a lot of room to grow. And, you know, I kind of was at the point where I realized that it was going to be, you know, maybe 30 more years of not really getting promoted or getting to do something new, you know. So I kind of was faced with this moment where I had to, you know, really think about what long term I wanted. And even though I really do have a strong interest for wastewater and testing water, and never say never, I may go back to it one day. But, you know, the thought of testing the same things for the next 30 years was honestly kind of suffocating. And so, you know, I just decided that, you know, the knitting thing had kind of been taking off, and, you know, now was the time to try it. It was kind of a now or never thing, you know? So, yeah, maybe I'll get back to the wastewater one day. We'll see.
Well, you've got a fallback career. That's right. And again, something you're still passionate about, which again, I'm not going to judge. We're not going to judge folks. It's fine that she's passionate.
Yeah, I know. It's weird, but that's cool. I accept it.
All of the best people have something that they're weird about, you know, which is, I'm a really great person because I have lots of weird things that are weird about me. We won't get into all that right now though, but so again, I've been a big fan of yours for a while. You're so well known for your shawls. I think one of the designs that kind of stuck out early on when I was looking at your work, sort of browsing things online, was a shawl that, and I'm not sure if it was for a publication or one of your own, I believe it was called the Danielle shawl.
The Danielle shawl, yep. I just did that one, came out earlier this year for Love of Knitting magazine,
right. Yep. Really beautiful, really beautiful.
Thank you. Yeah, that one, you know, it was a little surprising to me. I did that shawl for Love of Knitting magazine, but I worked with Dunn Roving to, they were the ones that had provided the yarn for it, and they now are making this new transition yarn. So it's a little different than the gradient yarns that are out right now, where what she does is she actually takes four of her colorways and puts them into one ball. And so that shawl has been really popular. People love that transition yarn, and they really love that shawl. It's been so awesome to see so many people making it.
When I look at it in combination with the other stuff, it seems like you, but it doesn't, and that must be the yarn talking. I mean, you're so well known for your shawls. These simple, and I don't want to say not complex, I would just say accessible, beautiful lace shawls that I think are, well, I mean, they're just gorgeous. You have, you know, quite a few of them up in your Ravelry store, and yeah, I've seen your work in publications before. Let's talk about what brought you to shawls, because that does seem, you know, with the exception of seeing some hats and some socks from you every so often, we see a lot of shawls. What is it about the shawl, Jen?
You know, I think really what happened was once I started knitting lace, I just, like, couldn't stop. I mean, I still just can't. Here we are years later, and I just can't stop. So for me, what I really love is I do love the smaller lace projects, because I am the kind of knitter that, you know, I like to move on to the next project quickly. So, you know, I love making these small shawls. I love the challenge of trying to get the lace pattern to fit into the shawl shape, you know, and there's just so many combinations that you could have. You could, like, never run out. So, you know, that's really, for me, what I really, really love. And, you know, I just, as my career, you know, keeps moving forward, that seems to be, you know, still what I like to design and, you know, what I'm having success with in terms of submitting to publications and things like that. So it's been really, really great.
Well, and they don't look alike. I mean, you've got quite a few up on your offer. They don't look alike. I mean, they're very unique. They're very interesting. And we're talking about one to two skein projects for the most part, which people love.
Right.
People love that. They think that's very accessible. Yarn stores seem to like that too, because that's, you know, something that they can move people in and out without carrying a bulk of yarn. Not that they shouldn't carry as much yarn as they can for the sweater folks out there. I'm not saying that. It's just, this is a nice accessible thing. And I want to talk about the accessibility of your patterns. I am not the most knitterly knitter in the world, but I have we have a common friend who has talked to me about your knitting, and I've talked to other people about your knitting. The way that you write instructions, it's very accessible. You seem to spend a great deal of time making sure that this is not going to be a drudge when people knit it.
Yeah, I really, you know, over especially the last couple of years now, I really have tried to focus on making sure that I can, yes, include as much information as I can without, you know, having every pattern be 20 pages long, but to include as much information as I can to make it so that, you know, people can make it easily, not have a lot of questions. I try to include, you know, little pattern notes that might be little tips or tricks that, you know, help me when I was knitting the sample or helping my sample knitter. And then the other thing I like to do, and the majority, I think all but one of my patterns that's in my Ravelry store and most of the patterns that are in, you know, various publications, I like to include the written instructions for the chart. Because even though I love knitting from charts, I did not always love to knit from charts. And so, you know, I really have tried to make sure that I can include the written instructions for the charts and the patterns, because I don't want to, you know, eliminate a whole group of people just because, you know, they don't like knitting from charts or they're not ready to knit from a chart. So yeah, I do. I try to make it so that, you know, I can reach as many people as possible with my patterns.
She's enabling. Folks, she's enabling.
Yes, that's right. That's right.
My whole thought about this, and I've talked to many designers, is folks, don't be afraid of charts. Learn how to read them. Just do. It's better. Honestly, it is.
Right.
I swear that when you do, in other words, the last for 26 pages, there will be a mistake in it. I guarantee you there will. You can have 8 tech editors go through, in other words, and you're going to find there's going to be a mistake. I guarantee you. Where with the chart, it's pretty obvious by just looking at it. Oh, no,
right.
That's not going to work. But she's enabling. But that's okay. That's okay. It's not your job to fix the world. You're just taking care of everybody, and that's fine, Jen.
Right. And that's the thing is I do. I always encourage people when they, you know, they tell me they don't knit from charts. You know, I always encourage them to try. You know, because for a long time I thought I was never going to get it either. And now, yeah, it's like, I don't know how, like now I almost think about like, I almost can't follow the written instructions for a chart now, because to me, it just seems so much more complicated, you know, but I know for a long time, that's what I relied on. So, yeah.
No, it's okay. And so if you put it in there, you'll be the Rosetta Stone for us. You know, they'll have the chart, they'll see the pages, and they'll go, oh, I can learn to read charts just from your patterns. That's right. That's what you're doing, right, Jen?
Yep, that's right.
Okay, we'll give you credit on that. So this eventually became, you know, a big enough thing that you ventured into the world of being a published author. Not just the pattern design for the occasional yarn company. I know you've done work for yarn companies like Collage and others, and but you eventually got the idea that you wanted to do a book, and you were fearless about that. You actually decided it and submitted. Can you tell us that story?
Yeah, you know, I just recently, like in the last 6 months, have quit my job. But you know, a few years ago, I you know kind of was starting to think about grand scheme of things. What do I want to do with my life? And you know, I thought, man, if I could just really make knitting my job, that would just be so great. And I don't know, I guess I just got it in my head that, well, if I had a knitting book, that definitely would move me in the right direction. So, you know, I started thinking about it. And I was like, well, you know, I could just try to see if somebody would pick this book idea up. And so, yeah, I pretty much just went for it. And I approached Martingale, they're my publisher. I approached them with the book idea. I think on their website you can get the little form for what they want for a proposal, and I basically took some time, filled it out, knit some shawls, and presented them with an idea. And then I really went into it thinking, okay, they're going to say no, and that's fine because, you know, I have a few patterns on Ravelry. You know, nobody knows who I am. They're going to say no, and that's fine because I've done the work, and I'll just take these patterns and I'll either submit them to a magazine, to a yarn company, or I'll self-publish them. So I was extremely excited when they came back and said, yes, we want to turn your proposal into a book. So Yeah, and so from there it was just, you know, I took some time to obviously write it and knit everything, and it came out at the beginning of last year, and it's done really well. I've been very, just so thankful and surprised and everything that the book really did as well as it did. For a first book, I was very excited.
Yes, the book is great. The book is called Sock Yarn Shawls. It was released in January of 2013. I remember when it came out, a friend of mine said, "Hey, did you see this?" And I went, "All right, yeah, I got it." Back when I was still thinking, I've got to get Jen on the show. And I did not get a pre-release copy, but I have seen a copy since at Stitches. And it's a beautiful book. It's really, you've got to be happy with the book.
Yes, I really didn't know what, you know, really went into, you know, making a book and, you know, everything. And, but yeah, Martingale did a really great job. I love the photos. I just think, you know, the whole thing just came together really well. And, like I said, it's just so amazing how the response that I've gotten from it. It's just like I still can't, it's like been out almost 2 years and I still can't believe it.
Well, it is a beautiful book, and it's a great book because, as you know, there was a time where, you know, the sock craze was, you know, all encompassing, and I think there's still a lot of people out there that love sock yarn, but I think it's shrunk a bit, and I think that a lot of people were stuck with sock yarn, both yarn stores and people in their own stashes. And at some point, I think you stopped making socks. And that's kind of you, too, as I understand it. I mean, one of the reasons that you got into this is that you found yourself with a lot of sock yarn, and you were kind of done making socks.
Yeah, I mean, that you're exactly right, is that, yeah, I do still knit occasionally socks. But yeah, I was like a lot of people, like around maybe, I don't know, 2008, 2009, like everybody was making crazy complicated socks, and I was right there with them. But then eventually, you know, as I started, you know, getting a little better at knitting lace, and I was enjoying making some of those other small shawl projects, you know, really, yeah, I was left with this huge stash of sock yarn. I'm like, well, you know, I should just turn these into shawls because that's what I like to knit now. So yeah, I do think it's a great book because I think a lot of people have that sock yarn in their stash. I know for me, whenever I go on vacation and if I go to buy my souvenir yarn, I mean, I feel like people always are going for that sock yarn because it's one skein, it's good yardage, it's usually not crazy expensive, you know, you can bring it home. So everybody always has those skeins of sock yarn, like even if they don't really knit socks, those skeins always get into the stash. So, you know, it's a great book for using those up.
Well, and I know that, you know, even though you've worked with some of the mainstream manufacturers, you also do have a taste that runs towards some of the more interesting indie dyers, and a lot of those indie dyers do have their own sock yarns. In fact, that's kind of where they get started, and so yep. There's a lot of that around still.
Yeah, exactly, and yeah, it's been really, really interesting to see, you know, the last few years, even just, you know, some of these people that have even started out really, really small in their kitchens and their basement, you know, and now they're running, you know, still indie dyers, but running these sort of larger scale productions, you know, in actual spaces outside their home. It's just been really interesting to just kind of watch that happen. And yeah, I do. I love that indie dyed yarn. I mean, I love all yarn, but I don't know. I have a special place in my heart for that indie dyed yarn.
Well, so let's talk about the process when you went through this. Again, you didn't know what was involved in a book, and you've since learned that there's a lot of back and forth, and just when you think it's done, well, no, that's when you're done writing the manuscript, and then you go through the final product with tech editors, and you knit more, and you expand, and you do all this kind of stuff. But when you started sourcing this book, I'm sure that you didn't have a lot of restrictions. How did you do that? Did they line you up with manufacturers? Did you go right to your stash? I mean, how did you decide what was going to be merchandised in the book?
Pretty much as far as the yarn went, I've done this with the books I've been working on since then. I always pretty much start with the stash because, you know, I am still a knitter and I still buy stash like everybody else. So, with this book and with the other ones, I've started by going to the stash first, kind of seeing what I like, seeing what I love, and then, picking those things out, and then the remaining patterns, then I will go to different yarn companies. Typically, what I'll do is I'll think about the shawl pattern and think what yarn would work well with it, and then I'll just go directly to that yarn company and kind of tell them my idea. And you know, with the first book, I was really worried, honestly, that people weren't going to want to give me yarn for the book because, you know, I'm like, well, nobody really knows who I am. And, you know, even though I do have a book contract and stuff, you know, I just really wasn't sure. But, you know, I had a lot of companies, they were more than happy, you know, once I told them what the book was and my publisher and, you know, the plans and everything, were more than happy to send me that yarn to put it in the book.
And so you got this all together and you started knitting up your stuff and you started writing your patterns down. You eventually sent it all off. It came back and forth. You go, and it's exhausting, folks. It just, when you think it ends. and then you go through this whole final, you know, kind of layout thing, but you still don't get it. And then there's that one magical day that, you know, there seems like a couple of months of break. And then there's that one magical day when the FedEx truck shows up. And I know you had that moment. Would you mind telling us about that moment?
Yeah, I will. It was like probably kind of embarrassing. I mean, oh, thank God only my husband was around when it happened. So yes, the magical day came when the FedEx truck or whatever showed up with my book, and I just held it in my hands. I jumped up and down in my kitchen and was crying, probably like super ugly cry. Just, I can't believe that I made this book, like that those are my patterns. It was just, you know, even though, yeah, you kind of, sometimes when you get into the middle of that book writing process and, you know, I mean, I love it, but yeah, you have those frustrating moments and, you know, I've had those moments where you think, oh, I don't know if I could do this again. But then you get that book in your hand and you like forget all about the, you know, frustration you had. You think, I can't wait to make another one.
Yes, you
know?
You forget the labor pains and you're just holding the child. Absolutely. So I'm glad that you had that experience. And the book is great. You put together a great collection of, again, what I consider very accessible shawl patterns for people. And it's done extremely well. And because of that, you've got another book coming, don't you?
Yes, I do. Sock Yarn Shawls 2 will be out at the beginning of January, and so I'm really excited about it. If it's possible, I think I'm more excited about it than the first book. With the first book, you know, I love the patterns in there. That's very much what I was knitting at that time, which, you know, it has a lot of triangle shawls in it. Great. You know, triangle shawls are great for everybody, but you know, they're, I think, very easy and accessible for beginners. Sock Yarn Shawls 2 does have some triangle shawls in it, but I really tried to include many different shawl shapes. So there's everything from triangle shawls to circular shawls, half tie shawls, crescent, sideways, I go every direction in Sock Yarn Shawls 2. And what I really love about the second book is that it is split up so that it has basically small, medium, and large size shawls. So they're perfect if you have, you know, one skein, two skein, three skein. You can, you know, knit whatever size shawl you want. And like the first book, I include instructions on how to adjust the pattern if you want to change the size. So I'm really, really excited about it. And I just can't wait for people to get it and start knitting.
Well, and so when will this book be out?
It's scheduled to be out, I think, the second week of January. So just a couple more months and it will be available.
Well, that's fantastic. So we need to have you back on the show when that book comes out and it's available to people so we can talk about it again. Because I'll have to start collecting your books, Jen.
Okay. That sounds good to me.
So, and I think you're working on another one right now, but you can't really talk about it, right?
Yeah, I can't really talk about it. All I'll really say is that it's not shawl. So it's branching out a little bit, but yeah, it's literally due to the publisher this week. So, you know, right now I'm kind of, in the final push to get it done. And, you know, it's been kind of crazy this time. Just, you know, I have, you know, the second one, you know, pretty much wrapping up and going to be coming out. And now, you know, it's like at the same time I'm finishing up the third one. So it's kind of cool. I'm excited.
It takes a lot of time. I can't imagine you doing the first one while you weren't able to do this full time, because I mean, the first one,
yeah,
you were still doing your day job, which is, you know, probably, you know, 50, 60 hours a week.
Yeah.
And then coming home at nights, I mean, you know, your poor husband, you know?
Yeah, you know, it's so funny because actually when the manuscript for the first book was due, it was 3 months, like it was due 3 months after we were married. And so like the running joke was, yeah, we're getting married. And then I'm sorry, but I'm ignoring you because I'm working a full-time job and submitting books. But he was so amazing and, you know, just so encouraging. And I feel so lucky because, you know, I've said to some of my friends, I don't know if a lot of husbands would just be cool with their wives being like, yeah, so I know I got this like really good, stable, you know, municipal job with, you know, like good pension and good benefits and stuff. But I think I just want to leave that job and like knit, you know, so I just feel so lucky. And yeah, he's been so supportive. With the second book, I kind of was working still at my full-time job, like probably for the first half of when I was, you know, finishing up the manuscript and stuff. And then, you know, now I've been home working, but yeah, he's just been great. I'm really lucky that he's just cool with me ignoring him while I write my knitting book.
Well, you always talk about him. He's, you put his name in the bio, and I understand that you guys just celebrated 3-year anniversary. Congratulations.
Yes, we did. Oh, thank you. Yeah. It's kind of funny. We've, you know, we've known each other a long time. We were mortal enemies in high school. He's been, you know, just great and so supportive. And yeah,
that's pretty great. So let's move over from your work right now. And I want to talk about your blog, because I think I really became aware of you first through your blog. You have a great blog called Knitting Like Crazy. It's just fun. It's eclectic. I like it. You know, you know, it doesn't take itself too seriously, but there's fun stuff in it. And I read about, your life and all kinds of things like that. And, you know, I think there's even I saw a great picture up there the other day of your husband, you know, trying to learn to knit, which I thought was.
Yeah.
So when and why did you get involved in the world of blogging? It was an idea to just start talking to the world. And, you know, how did that start for you?
Blogging originally, maybe in about 2004, which I was knitting or just starting to knit, but it was just, you know, here and there, and I wasn't really taking it super seriously at that time. And so I had like a regular blog, but I don't know, I was just, I think, blogging about what I was doing on the weekend or, you know, what I saw on the internet. And then after a couple of years of doing that and, you know, knitting had become more serious in my life, knitting blogs were getting a lot more popular. In 2006, I kind of stopped the personal blog and just started blogging about knitting, because at that time, that was really what my life had started to become, was, you know, knitting was my big hobby. It was what I was doing in my free time. So it just kind of was a natural progression. So, and I don't even really know now how I came up with Knitting Like Crazy. I think it's just because I was knitting all the time, you know? So, so that's where I guess I came up with the name. But yeah, so since 2006, I've been blogging, and I'll be honest, you know, like a lot of bloggers, I haven't always been the most consistent, but now that I'm home and sort of in this full time, you know, I'm really excited because there's lots more, I think, going to be coming up on the blog, exciting stuff. You know, I want to start doing more tutorials and things like that on the blog. I think now that I have more time with only having the one job, you know, I'm really excited for what's coming up next on the blog.
But the blog doesn't really, you save the crockpot recipes for Pinterest. You don't blog about crockpot recipes.
Yeah, no, I don't. I mean, I'll occasionally, that's the thing about my blog is that I sort of blog, you know, it's mostly about knitting. I also now crochet. I sort of say knitting's now my job and crochet is my hobby. So, you know, I blog about the stuff I'm working on, the stuff I'm buying, and yeah, some every once in a while a picture of, you know, what's in my crock pot will show up on the blog, but yeah, mostly I save the crock pot recipes for Pinterest.
Folks, I want to say that again. She when she uses Pinterest, it's to pin crock pot recipes. I just, you know, and again, we're not judging, Jen. We're not judging
I mean,
at all.
Yeah, I mean, I do. I have a love affair with my crock pot. I don't know. I love making food in my crock pot. So, yes, when I'm on Pinterest, that's usually what I'm doing, is finding crock pot recipes.
That's great. So I said earlier that I arranged to have you on my table at the student banquet at Stitches Midwest. And, of course, you've been coming to Stitches Midwest for a couple of years, but I don't think you and I ever really hooked up. I do believe we did meet at a TNNA once upon a time, and I think we met before, but... One of the reasons you really, really got on my radar is your work with Halos of Hope. We have a mutual friend named Pam Hashke, who's the founder of Halos of Hope. And I remember talking to her about you just in the abstract, and for some reason completely missed that you were working with us on another project. Again, sometimes Halos of the board of Halos of Hope and those that work with Halos of Hope, there's enough going on that we don't all know what's going on at the same time, but it just so happened. And folks, I have to tell you, with the student banquet that we sat together, it got out of control. It really did.
It really did.
We had, you know, there was a Catholic priest that was doing a burlesque number on the stage with a scarf. We won't get into it. You can check Facebook for more of that. But it got out of hand, and it was great. It was really great. And I was taking pictures and videos, and Jen was sitting next to me, and I would say, and she was, again, a complete enabler for me. Should I post this? Oh, yeah, you got to post this.
Oh, yeah. I just felt like other people needed to see what was going on. It's just, that was so much fun. You know, I had never been to the student banquet before, and man, what an introduction.
Yeah.
It was crazy.
Yeah. Yeah, remember Laura and Rick trying to do the hustle? That was.
Oh, yes. It was awesome.
So you came this last show really as one of the representatives of Halos of Hope. Which we really appreciate your support. But you did a big project for Halos of Hope, and I'd love for you to tell the Fiber Hooligan listeners what your concept was and then what you did.
Yeah, so I have a Ravelry group that is amazing. And, you know, every once in a while we'll do little knit-alongs, with my patterns, and it's always great fun. And, you know, I really got thinking about trying to organize sort of a hat knit-along, well, it was a knit-along and crochet-along for Halos. Last year, my dad was diagnosed with cancer, and he is happily now cancer-free. But when, you know, I'd be at the cancer hospital with him, and, you know, I'd see all these baskets of hats. I mean, just tons of hats. I mean, it would make me so happy. But a lot of them were a little more on the feminine side, I guess you could say. And so it really got me thinking that, you know, I could make a hat for, and did make a hat for my dad. You know, but there's lots of other guys out there that, you know, they want their, you know, and we have a need for these knitted and crocheted hats. So I organized a little knit-along and crochet-along in my Ravelry group to try to collect gender-neutral hats for Halos. In the end, I got around, I think, 70 hats, which was great. I could not believe it. I had, you know, some people sent me one or two. Some people sent me, you know, 12, 13, and on up. So it was really, really great that, you know, everybody kind of came together. And in my group, and like I said, normally in my Ravelry group, when I organize knit-alongs, it's usually using my patterns. But we kind of got a list together of some really good knitting and crocheted patterns, you know, from all different kinds of designers. And they said, hey, whatever you want to make me, send it to me. I will take it. And so it was really great to see the response that I got. And, you know, we're planning on doing another one next year. You know, people are already now making hats, getting ready for Stitches Midwest, you know, which is months and months away. So it's great. I'm really, really excited about it. And, you know, Pam is so great and her organization is so great. So, you know, I'm happy to do it.
Yeah. We were so thrilled. It's such a wonderful thing when the folks out there, I mean, Pam and I always have ideas about what we should be doing, and we ask people to do certain things, but it's always wonderful and so encouraging and heartwarming when people say, hey, I want to do this thing, and I'm just going to go do it. And it was very successful. I mean, there's like brought more attention to the organization. It was just fun, and so we really do appreciate your support on that, your ongoing support, and the way that you've always kind of taken care of us at Halo as a Hope. We do appreciate that, Jen.
Oh, well, it's no problem. It's my pleasure. Like I said, I think it's a great organization. And, I always been a little bit involved with Halos. I would make a hat here and there. But I really think, yeah, now in this last year, having it really, touch my family personally, it just made me want to do everything I can to help the organization. So I look forward to hosting future knit-alongs and crochet-alongs for Halos. I think it'll be great.
It will be great. And yes, that's fantastic. So thank you very much. So the other thing I wanted to talk about, and is one of the reasons we're doing this now, and we should have done this earlier so that we could give people more of a heads up, is let's segue into it by talking about your teaching. You made the transition from designer and author to teacher, and that's not always done. Not every designer and author does that, and not all of them do it very well. Your people that talk about your classes say wonderful things. Again, very approachable. They understand, they understand, they understand. You seem to be able to come at these things from many different ways. You're a very popular teacher. You've not taught for us yet, much to my chagrin.
Yet. Yeah.
But how did you get started teaching?
It was for me sort of a natural progression to teach. There was a yarn store near my home, which sadly now has closed. I had done some sample knitting for her and had some of my patterns in her store. And so, I was approached to basically start teaching project-based classes. So I taught, some of my own patterns, but at the beginning, before I had a large catalog of patterns, other people's patterns, I would get permission from the designers to teach other people's patterns in class. And so it kind of started like that. And then, I went from teaching in the yarn shop to once my book came out, I was approached by some other yarn stores, sort of local to, sort of Chicagoland area to teach. And so, I would go and maybe do, a one-day event where I would go and teach. And since then, I've continued to do a little bit at different yarn stores in the area. I've been approached by a couple of knitting guilds, and so I've gone and taught for some guilds. And there's a little fiber festival in the area, Midwest Fiber and Folk Art Fair. I taught there this year. So yeah, just sort of now I'm just sort of building up, now I don't really have the home yarn store anymore. And so yeah, I'm just, getting out there and meeting new people and, teaching basically to whoever will listen to me.
Well, yes, you're. I've met you. I've read your. I know that you're a great teacher. And one of the reasons I know that is that you did hit the big time just recently. In fact, that's one of the reasons that I wanted to have you on the show now. And we should have done this a couple of weeks ago so we could give our listeners a little more of a heads up. You made the big time. You are a teacher at VK Live in Chicago, coming up here on between the October 24th and 26th. That's a very big deal, Jen.
Yes, it's so exciting. It's like I can't. It's kind of like the book. I can't even believe it happened. It was one of those things. I submitted my classes to them. Now that I've a few of my classes, I've taught a few times, to the guilds and yarn stores and things, and I'm starting to feel a lot more comfortable. And so I thought, if again, if I'm gonna do this for real, for me, I was already teaching. It seemed like a natural progression to try to start teaching sort of on that larger scale. And so, yeah, I submitted my classes to Vogue Knitting and they said yes. So I'm really excited to be teaching at Vogue Knitting in Chicago. I think it's going to be a really great time. I've gone the last 2 years. I hadn't taken classes there, but I've, been to the marketplace and, it's a great event. And I'm really, really excited that I get to be, a part of it this year as a teacher.
Well, again, kudos to you. And as I understand it, you got one class and one lecture. They're both on the 24th.
Yep.
And I believe there's space in them, a little bit of space left in your class and a little bit of space left in your lecture. That's correct, right?
Yes. Yes. There is still a little bit of space left. Not much, so if you're interested, you need to hurry up and get in there. But yeah, there are still a few spots left.
Well, let's talk about your class. It's an afternoon class from 2 to 5. It's called Lovely Lace Borders. It's brand new for them. I imagine that this has something to do with Lovely Lace Borders.
Yes, it does. So really, lately, my obsession, I always sort of get these weird knitting obsessions. Lately, it has been lace borders. I love putting borders on whatever I can. And so this class really, kind of progressed from that. I was putting borders on everything. And, I would get questions here and there about my patterns, about, how should I do this or that with the border? And so I thought, well, I should teach a class on it. And so Lovely Lace Borders talks about 3 different ways to add a border to your project. And, while I typically only put borders on shawls, that's mostly what I make. The class we talk about, if you wanted to put a border on something else, bottom of a sweater or baby blanket, things like that. And so I go over 3 different ways to basically work a border so you can attach it to your knitting without having to sew it on, because putting a sewn lace border on your piece is great, but I'm not really into seaming. I don't really like to sew that much. So I really try to make the class about ways to get the border onto your knitting without having to sew it on. So that's that class. And I'm really excited about it. It's one of my absolute favorite ones to teach. And people always walk away, I feel like, with ideas on how they can use it in their knitting and how they can sort of make it their own and, add it to their own shawls or sweaters or what have you. So.
Well, that's great. And that's more or less an intermediate class, but the lecture from, I think it's 5:30 to 6:30, is for everybody. The lecture is called Successful Sock Yarn Shawls. And is this tips and tricks and your own anecdotes kind of lecture?
Right. So basically, it's just for anybody, whether they already are knitting shawls or are thinking about maybe they want to knit a shawl. Basically, the lecture is just going to talk about different things I've picked up along the way. So it is sort of partial tips and tricks, showing you, different things that I use or have figured out when I'm making a shawl. And then also, I guess, some of the things I've learned along the way, sort of showing off the mistakes that I have made and saying, hey, learn from my mistake, don't do this. So yeah, it's sort of for everybody. And I think people will really enjoy it. I'm excited about it. Because I love talking about knitting. I love talking about shawls. So I'm really excited for that lecture.
That should be great. I'm sorry I can't get up to see that one. That would be fun for me to do, but I'm swamped down here. I hope you'll forgive me.
I do.
But Fiber Hooligans in the Chicagoland area, there is still room. If you head up on to VogueKnittingLive.com and choose the Chicago show, you can do a search for Jen Lucas's classes. And, if you have the inkling, I encourage you to do this. You will not be disappointed. She is a fantastic designer and teacher. You really will get your money's worth out of it. All right, so what's next? You're conquering the world here, Jen. You're writing books, you're getting on the national scene teaching, your pattern store. What's next for you? Crockpot recipe book? I mean, what's next?
Yeah. No, I don't think I'll be doing a crockpot recipe book anytime soon. Maybe one day. Like I said, I'm finishing up the third book right now. So that one should be coming out in late 2015, I think. And then, I kind of have a couple more book ideas rolling around in my head, but nothing concrete yet. Next year, what I'm really hoping to do is sort of, I keep saying, get back to my roots. And, I really started by self-publishing my patterns on Ravelry. And this last year, it's been so great. I've been doing a lot more magazine work. I've done, some different things for some different companies and, been working on my books. But next year, I really want to try to get back to doing a little more self-publishing. I'm currently working on a collection that will be an ebook that will be ready at the beginning, sort of, I guess you could say, the end of the first quarter of next year. And then I have a couple other self-published patterns sort of in the works for next year. So I'm really excited about that. I've been doing a lot of designing for Love of Knitting magazine. So I'm really excited that in 2015 there will be more new patterns coming out in the Love of Knitting magazines. And then, yeah, hopefully just working on, you know, maybe a fourth book and hopefully teaching more and just kind of keep moving forward.
And maybe joining the crew at one of our shows, one of the Stitches shows next year. Yeah. That would be good too. I would love that.
That would be awesome. I would love that too.
All right. Well, you know, great. So you're a busy gal, and we'll be watching you to see how you're doing as you're taking over the world. We'll be checking out your blog to make sure Alex is still okay, because, you know, we're going to worry about Alex a little bit. So we're sliding on out of here today. We're getting close to the end of the show, and I thought I'd ask you, are there any shout-outs that you'd like to make while we're on the air today?
Sure. I think I'd really like to give a shout-out to my Ravelry group, Jen Lucas Designs Ravelry group. They really were so wonderful when I was trying to organize that knit along and crochet along for Halos of Hope, and they're so supportive of everything that I do, and you know, I just really, really appreciate, you know, everything they've done for me, and I'm so appreciative that, you know, they're already gearing up for my hat knit along for next year for Stitches Midwest. So I just would like to give them a shout out. And if you're not in the group, you should join the group because we have a lot of fun in there.
All right. Well, and we'll post links on our Ravelry group and try to get them to come in like you as well and join your group.
Yeah.
All right. Great. So last question. I give all my guests fair warning. Do you have any words of advice, wisdom, anything that you'd like to say to the Fiber Hooligan audience about anything? It could be, you know, an aspiring designer, somebody wanting to come into the world of design and the fiber arts, or just people that are trying to find time for their craft.
Yeah, you know, I think I really would like to talk to the people that are thinking about transitioning, you know, their knitting into a career, you know, a design career specifically. You know, I think the main thing is that what you have to think about is that when you decide that knitting is going to be your job, that's just it. It is your job. And I think for me, that has been one of the harder parts of this, is that knitting was my hobby for a very, very long time. But now, you know, I have deadlines, you have people depending on you, and it is the way that I make money. And so you just have to think about that part of it. And I don't want to discourage anybody. I really think if you want to do it, you should go for it. But that is an important piece of the puzzle, is that you're not going to knit a hobby. You can set it down whenever you want to. A job, you have to work. You know, you can't just say, forget it, you know, if you want to get paid. So that would be one thing. And then if you are serious about it, just go for it. There's lots of great groups on Ravelry that you can find lots of good resources, lots of information about, you know, if you need to know, you know, what kind of people you need to hire, what people you need to talk to, places you can submit for magazines and books and things. There's great resources on Ravelry. So I just encourage you to try to, you know, get all the information you can and just go for it.
Well, those are great words of advice, and I really appreciate them. So I want to wish you great luck at VK Live this upcoming weekend, and I hope you'll come back and join us in the future.
Yes, I hope so too, Benjamin. This has been great. Thank you so much.
Thank you so much for your time, and you have a wonderful week.
All right, thanks. You too.
Bye.
Bye.
That was the very talented Jen Lucas from Jen Lucas Designs. You can keep up with what Jen is doing at jenlucasdesigns.com, and that's one you're going to want to bookmark. Okay. You know what time it is.
And now it's time for State of the Hooligan with Tammy Burke.
I'd like to welcome back host of State of the Hooligan, moderator of our Fiber Hooligans Ravelry group, and administrator of our Fiber Hooligans Facebook page to tell us all what's new and cool in the fiber arts world, our roving virtual reporter, my friend and fellow Fiber Hooligan, Tammy Burke. Tammy joins us again today from Boise, Idaho. Good morning, Tammy, and welcome back to the show.
Good morning, Benjamin. How are you? Happy Monday.
Happy Monday. I'm pretty well. I'm back. I'm rested from the show. I came back and my trees are all beautiful and golden. So yeah, I'm really good. How are you doing?
I'm feeling a little jet lag still, so maybe I didn't get enough rest, but
yeah, you know,
that's my excuse anyway, and I'm sticking to it.
You know, you don't have to make any more excuses than that. But there are shows that hit people differently than other ones. I managed to come back from the last show and basically kind of take just one full day off. And it wasn't a full day. I mean, folks, you know, I'm not doing a lot, but I still have emails to answer and phone calls to take. I mean, that's just the reality of it. But diving into heavy work, no, I didn't. And I sat in my sunroom, my Three Seasons room, and kind of sipped coffee. And
new house has a sunroom.
It's actually got this beautiful Three Seasons room. We think it's a Four Seasons room, but it's got all these windows and I've got a beautiful backyard. Anyway, so I kind of de-stressed and it felt really good. And so I'm in pretty good shape. But
you win. Cool.
Yeah, well, it was kind of fun. This is the first time I think we came back where you and I were on the same plane going back.
That was fun. There was a lot of familiar faces on the plane coming back.
Oh, I know. There was like seven of us from the crew. We had this funny day on the travel back day, as Tammy will tell you, where we all basically sat all day long waiting to go to the airport. I mean, it was just this long day of doing nothing but waiting to go to the airport. We sat
in
our rooms.
Speak for yourself. Speak for yourself. I didn't sit.
You went out, didn't you?
Yes, I went out. I got to do a little bit of touristy sightseeing with some of the other ladies. And then we came back and sat and knitted in the lobby till the cars came to take us to the airport.
Yeah, what'd you see? Let me ask you what you saw.
Well, after a conversation with Franklin Thursday night, I think it was, about what we should see, maybe. He suggested the Mark Twain House.
Oh, yeah, got to see that. I've seen that. That's great.
Oh, that was pretty cool.
Did you get a chance to see Mark Twain made out of Legos?
Yes, I had my picture taken with him.
Cool.
Yeah. I didn't expect to see that. That was cool.
That is very cool, yeah. And what else did you see?
Downtown Hartford on the bus, on the city bus. We entertained the community, I think, because, you know, here we are. We were obvious. I thought we were kind of camouflaged because we didn't have the big cameras to take pictures of everything, but we were pretty apparent when we got on the city bus.
Well, it's pretty cool. I mean, you know, it's kind of funny because, you know, Hartford people don't think Hartford's the sexiest town. And I'll be honest, you know, the insurance capital of the world, maybe it isn't. But I really like downtown Hartford. I love the restaurants down there. I love the sushi place down there. I love the City Steam Bar. I actually like downtown Hartford. It's kind of a nice place. So
this for me was the first time I've ever been any further east than Chicago, personally.
Ooh, wow.
Yeah. So for me, all the buildings being, I saw buildings from 1842 and older, you know, it was interesting for me to get to see buildings that old because we don't have any of that here.
It's funny how as you move west, that is exactly the case. I felt that same sort of shock when I went to Europe and realized that we don't have anything old like that, you know, in the United States. But yeah, well, so cool. Yeah, I mean, the very first time I was ever in Connecticut was when I went to scout the location for Hartford, you know, 6 or 7 years ago. And I'm glad you had a good time. Anyway, the weather was perfect out there while we were there.
Well, if it was bad, we didn't know it because we were inside. So
I think there was only like one rainy day, right? And it wasn't even that bad.
No, it wasn't. I don't think it was bad. People seem to be able to acclimate pretty well to it. So anyway, I had a lot of fun. I'm glad you did too. And it seems like everybody that joined us was there to enjoy.
Yeah, well, you know, again, what's not to like? Even when things aren't as great as they should be, they're still pretty good when that many knitters and crocheters get together.
Yes. Everybody's gets there, becomes high on fiber fumes.
Yeah. Yeah. Tammy's going to become a dealer in fiber. First hits for free, folks, you know.
Somebody already said I was an evil enabler, and I was just trying to stay away from it. But, you know, that's kind of fun.
Oh, that's cool. So so you're a little bit rested. You're back in the routine. You know, now we got this huge break until we all get together. It's like February until we see each other again. So it's
going
to be this.
Well, until you and I see each other. In the meantime, there's lots of other stuff going on.
There is. And I'm glad we're talking about that because I have a feeling that you're going to be talking a little bit about what's going to be happening up here. Non-stitches related. And it's important, folks, that to remember that you know, Tammy and I can get a little obsessed about what's going on in our world, but there's a lot of stuff going on in the world. And so let's get right into today's segment because you've got a great thing that dovetails really well into the program we have today with Jen Lucas. And by the way, isn't she just wonderful?
Yes, I am so tickled about getting to learn more about her. That's awesome. Thank you for having her on the show so I can.
You know, she's just fantastic. And so I was really glad that you picked the segment that you're going to do today. So I'll lead you into this thing. Tammy Burke, what do you got for us for State of the Hooligan this week?
This week is a huge event in Chicago, Vogue Knitting Live. And yay, Jen Lucas is going to be there.
Yes, she is, as we talked about in the program. Yep, and she's still got some slots open. And so, okay, so we didn't talk a lot about detail in this, but I'm hoping you're going to give us some a little more in-depth information about the show.
Okay. It's similar to Stitches events, but, you know, different. There's lots of teachers there. Some of the different ones that then we have opportunity to see at Stitches. I'm just looking through the list. It's kind of overwhelming. Wendy Bernard's going to be there. John Brenniger, Nancy Bush, Amy Deachin's going to be there. We have Donna Dukonis at, I got to meet her at, Stitches East. Franklin, our friend Franklin's going to be there. That's his hometown, so he would show up. but, you know, so many teachers, Nancy Marchant, it's kind of, the list is just overwhelming. And, you know, if you can go to the website and check it out, it's pretty awesome. They have actually a countdown till it starts. So days, hours, minutes, seconds, even. Which is pretty exciting. They also have a fashion show, of the things from the magazine and other vendors or sponsored pieces in the fashion show.
And this is being held downtown again at the Palmer House, correct?
Oh, the beautiful Palmer House, another historical landmark, I think. The pictures are stunning.
Yeah, it's gorgeous. I always think about it. It's a great place. The event manager in me thinks, oh my goodness, I don't know that I have the fortitude to put an event into an old historic hotel like that. It's not that it's not beautiful, and it's just that, you know, when I think in terms of those things, I think in terms of loading docks and things like that, and you know that they're willing to take
sure.
it on, you know, that they're willing to take on is kudos to them. I good for them, because it really is a gorgeous hotel.
Yes, it is. Oh well, and it's so beautiful that I don't think I would get much knitting done because I'd probably be sitting there admiring the architecture and, you know, just how beautiful that building is. And in fact, even in Boise here, somebody I was talking to, I was telling about Vogue Knitting Live will be at the Palmer House. And, oh, the Palmer House, and got all melty. Like ID just looking at the pictures. So that it's known. It's pretty cool.
It is pretty cool. And so that's coming up at, by the time this broadcasts, the end of the week. Is that right?
The 24th through 26th, so this coming Friday, Saturday, and Sunday.
Right.
I believe this. It's happening at the same time as Rhinebeck.
Or no, it's happening at the same time as SAF, right? Did I get that wrong?
Rhinebeck is this weekend, that's right.
So it's the same time as SAF.
Which, yeah.
But that's, I mean, it's a good distance apart, folks. I mean, you know, I think the one of the things to note about this event is, just like our event, there is a public market. And so, you know, if you're in the Chicagoland area and you're thinking about some fibery, yarny goodness to get involved in, they do have a public market. And I think the public market is open on, is it Saturday and Sunday? Did I get that right?
I think so, yes. So, you know, lots of great information to gather, lots of touchy-feely yarn, all the neat tools and stuff. Go check it out if you're in the area, if you can possibly at all make it.
Right, and we will post links to the various things about Vogue Knitting Live, the Chicago show, up on a Ravelry group when this is all done. Is there anything that you looked in there that you thought, oh, that looks just fantastic, just, you know, mind-blowing?
It's the building that's attracting me.
The building that's attracting.
Yes.
Nothing wrong with that. It is a beautiful building.
Yes.
Well, that's great. Well, I'm glad that you decided to talk a little bit about this because, you know, our friends over at Vogue, you know, they do a good job. So it's worth pointing out that there's some other cool stuff going on out there.
Yes. If you didn't get to Stitches East or Stitches West, here's your opportunity to catch up. There you go.
There you go. That's absolutely okay. Right. You got anything else for this week?
No, we talked about SAF, mentioned SAF. This last weekend, I didn't get to mention it before, but Rhinebeck, the big deal. Rhinebeck. That should have an echo with it.
I'll do an echo music with it, just like State of the Hooligan for it.
There you go. Rhinebeck.
Rhinebeck.
Yeah, so many people are on their way there, so, and on their way home. So.
Yeah. Well, that's cool. Awesome. Well, that's great. And so, you know, thanks for your report. You always do such a great job, and I want to thank you for another great segment, Tammy. And we'll look forward to hearing from you next week. Happy Monday.
Happy Monday.
That was Tammy Burke, host of State of the Hooligan and admin of Our Fiber Hooligans Facebook page and moderator of Our Fiber Hooligans Ravelry group. For those of you who may have missed anything in this podcast, I invite you to join us in one of our groups. Tammy does such a great job of making sure we answer questions and provide links and follow up to anything you may have heard on the show. Next week, my guest will be David Babcock, the knitting runner. David is the Guinness World Record holder for knitting the longest scarf, 12 feet, while running a marathon, which he did in Kansas City last October. Coupled with a great deal of skill and endurance, David credits his choice in using Lion Brand's Hometown USA as a factor in his amazing accomplishment. Lion Brand is sponsoring David in the New York City Marathon on November 2, 2014. He is committed to raising awareness for funds for Alzheimer's research, care, and support. I hope you'll join us for what I know will be an inspirational show. I also want to make sure that you know that I'm eager to hear from you. You can email me questions, recommendations, critiques, and feedback at benjamin@fiberhooligan.com. And that includes suggestions for guests or cool things you'd like Tammy to talk about in her segment. If you want to email Tammy directly, you can do so at tammy@fiberhooligan.com. I don't promise to respond to every email or message, but I do promise to do my best to read them all. If you ask a really great question or have an inspired idea, I may even read your email on the podcast. If you're following us on iTunes, we have moved. You can find us now at fiberhooligan.com/iTunes. And since we're at a new channel up there on iTunes, I'd appreciate it if you'd leave a comment if you like the show. I'd like to thank Prime Publishing and AllFreeKnitting.com for their sponsorship of Fiber Hooligan. I'd also like to thank my editor, Christine Weir, as well as Simone, Caitlin, Chris, Keith, Stewart, and the rest of the gang at Prime Publishing for all their help. I'd like to thank my guest, Jen Lucas, for being so gracious with her time and being so awesome with Halos of Hope. I'd like to thank Tammy Burke for everything she does on and off the show. And of course, I'd like to thank all of you for listening. Well, that's our show, Fiber Hooligans. As we slide on out of here today, I'd like to wish you all a glorious week. Remember, the only thing better than being creative is being kind to each other. The good news, you can do both. Thank you for spending this time with us. We'll see you next week for another edition of Fiber Hooligan.